This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Inside Story. Praise the name of Jesus. We've just been having a very important time all week studying the subject of doubt, how we deal with doubt in our own lives, how we help those who might share their doubts with us, how Jesus dealt with that as we see him in the pages of the New Testament. We've made a distinction between the kind of doubt that is a matter of honest, searching inquiry and the kind that really is simply the outward expression of rebellion, the manifestation of an unwillingness to follow the truth of God because we really would rather run our own lives. Thank you very much. We've also noticed the fact that conviction, faith, is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so whether we're trying to deal with ourselves or with other people, we bring the Word of God to bear upon our lives, but it's the Holy Spirit who's going to bring conviction regarding it. That takes a lot of pressure off. We are told to share the good news with our friends. Peter tells, in his first letter, that we're to be ready at all times to give an answer for the hope that is within us. And yet it's not up to us to convince somebody. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He takes our witness, and he blesses it, and he uses it in his own program in dealing with our friends. I have one more very important comment to make on this whole subject this week, and it's one that I make with some degree of hesitance because it certainly is going to rock the boat. But I've said many, many times that we don't want to steal people away from other churches. That's not the reason that we're on the air. We're not seeking proselytes. We'd rather have you brighten the corner where you are, wherever that might be. But I need to add this caveat, that I believe that if the Word of God is not being proclaimed forthrightly in whatever church you find yourself in, that you ought to think very seriously and pray very seriously about whether God would have you move on to some other place, not necessarily to Truro. But if the Word of God is the thing which produces faith, if the Holy Spirit takes that Word of God and brings conviction in our lives about it, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the preaching of Christ, as it says in the book of Romans, then where the Word of God is not being honored is a place where faith cannot grow and doubt will reign supreme. There's a little statement tucked away in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 that has some implications that are as far-reaching for the life of the church as any other single statement in the whole Bible. Back during the reign of Asa, king of Judah, around 800 B.C., we find that things have been going relatively well for the previous generation. And yet, God sends a prophet, a fellow by the name of Azariah, and he comes out to meet Asa, and he says this to him. Chapter 15, 2 Chronicles, verse 2. Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And listen to this verse. Verse 3. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their distress they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found by them. The prophet does not say there were no priests. Of course there were priests, hundreds, perhaps thousands of them, priests, Levites, temple workers, acolytes, scribes. There was all the paraphernalia of worship and an army of priests to lead it. There were burnt offerings, sin offerings, guilt offerings, thank offerings, cereal offerings, libations, ablutions, ritual washings. There were hours and offices and incense, sprinkling of blood, washing of water, the anointing of oil. There were choirs and musicians and sacred dancers. There was ceremony and ritual. In a word, there was religion. There was religion. But for a long time, not for a short time, for a long time, Israel was without God. They had all the paraphernalia of religion, and they were without God. Why? because it says they were without a teaching priest. They had priests, but they didn't have priests who were teaching the Word of God. And where the Word of God is not being proclaimed, God Himself is absent. Does that send a chill up and down your spine? It does mine. As I see so much that is being done in the name of God that has absolutely nothing to do with the Word of God, as I hear preachers who are getting up in pulpits and preaching from the front page of the newspaper, preaching from the latest Gallup poll, preaching their own sociological ideas on the subject, preachers who are baptizing in the name of Christ that which is the opinion of the world, and when that happens, God Himself is absent. For a long time, Israel had religion, but no true God. It's not just a matter of being a teacher. We have teachers all around us, but it's what they teach. Over in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, we read this. Verse 16, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you." Well, Jeremiah's whole career was a matter of coming against the other prophets. Jeremiah was one of the all-time great prophets, but his word fell on deaf ears. He preached for 40 years, and I think it can legitimately say he didn't make a single convert. Maybe Baruch, his secretary, nobody else until after the whole thing was over. Jeremiah's message was that destruction is surely coming upon this people because of their rebellion against God. But over against his lonely voice proclaiming that were all the other prophets, wined and dined by the king himself, who were saying, peace, peace, it won't be that way. God will never forsake his promises to Jerusalem. God will never forsake his temple. This is the place where true religion is being offered, and God will never let destruction come upon us. Destruction came. Devastating, horrific destruction came. And Jeremiah's words were fulfilled, horribly fulfilled. He took no delight in it, I might say. But once again, there was not only religion. Once again, there was not only the trappings and the ritual and the ceremony, but there were teachers and preachers. The only problem was they weren't teaching God's word. They were proclaiming their own opinions. And Jeremiah says, do not listen to them. Do not listen to those who prophesy to you, who teach to you concerning the visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. Do you know what they'll do? They're going to confirm people in rebellion. Rather than bringing the word of God to his people who are needing to repent, they're going to confirm people in rebellion. The result of preaching and teaching other than the word of God is to make things worse than they were before. I find that an absolutely devastating word. But there's one still worse than that. This may be the most sobering word for any minister of the gospel, for any priest ordained by any church that calls itself Christian, that you could find in all the scriptures. Malachi chapter 2. God is speaking and he says, "And now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them, because you do not lay it to heart." The work of the priest, the work of the priest, is to pronounce God's blessing. The priest under the old covenant would go in and perform the sacrifice representing the people before God, and then he'd turn around and come back out to the waiting congregation representing God to the people. And he would pronounce in the name of God the blessing that comes from their sins being forgiven, that comes from their worship being acceptable. And you say, yes, but in the New Covenant we don't have priests. Or perhaps you'd say we have the priesthood of all believers. Well, good. I agree with that entirely. But how much more then does it apply to those who minister on behalf of all of that priesthood, who presume to pronounce God's blessing upon his people? If there is a priesthood of all believers, then these things apply to all of us. But how much more so to those who would presume to speak and teach and preach in the name of God? Do you hear what the Lord himself has said through Malachi? The work of the priest, the supreme work of the priest, is to pronounce God's blessing to the people. But if that priest, if that minister, if that preacher, if that evangelist, if that teacher is not honoring the word of God, if he is not giving glory to God's name, then every time he pronounces blessing, the Lord himself says, I curse it. Whew. When the priest pronounces blessing, God says, I have already cursed your blessing. Well, praise God, he's not finished with any of us yet. Praise God, every single one of us who dares to minister in the name of Christ still has much to learn and still has much to grow. None of us has arrived. We're all people in process, and there's hope. There's hope for all of us. But let me tell you, if your minister is deliberately, willfully proclaiming that which does not honor the Word of God, it's time to get out. If he is unreceptive to your exhortation and encouragement for him to come back to the Word of God and proclaim it forthrightly, then it's time to get out. I'm not saying go to Truro. I'm saying go to a place where you're going to be fed, where the word of God is going to be honored, where the name of Christ is going to be glorified, and when people are going to find their faith being built, because the only thing that will build it is the word of God. How do we deal with doubt? We bring that person under the proclamation of the word of God, and we trust that the Spirit of God will bring conviction. And that's the inside story.